Well, at the start of the program, I was talking to Stephen Beacom about the success of sport and what a heck of a sporting weekend it was, with everybody from Andy Murray to Portugal to Lewis Hamilton to Johnny Ray, Kieran McGee, everybody in between. Well, my next guest, fingers crossed that it was going to be a slightly more successful weekend, but it didn't quite work out that way. Andy Reid, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Pam.
Andy, competing in the British Supersport Championships, were leading until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we're just back there from Snetterton race circuit, so a bit of a tough weekend for us. But as you say, we were leading the championship up to the last round, actually, so which was only 2 weeks ago. And, I think we've dropped back to second in the championship now, but actually closed the gap to the lead even after this weekend. So the glass is half full.
Absolutely. And I know you've described weekends like this where things have gone, and we should emphasise, being sort of mechanical problems, and these things do happen. You refer to it as character building.
Yeah, it can be. You have two choices. You know, you can look at it and focus on the negative, or you can focus on the positive. And, you know, at the end of the day, just try to put it behind you, take the positives and take the hunger to the next one. So, you know, I think that's what I'm going to be trying to do at the next race. It's just, you know, dig deep.
Keep her going.
Yeah.
Now, you're only a young lad. What, 20?
22
years of age. Just turned 22. Mm. Happy birthday. But where did it all start out from? Because it's not something, biking's not in the family history, is it?
No, not particularly. You know, I think my cousins and my uncle and stuff, and they were sort of into their bikes when they were younger. I don't think there was any competitive, really, you know, in the genes. You know, I don't think anybody really raced at a level that would be as influential to, you know, start another generation of the Reid family, I suppose, to be racing. But you know, I think I'm rambling now.
It was something that you took it on yourself. It wasn't sort of in the family as such. But when you got your first bike, you were what, seven?
Yeah, 7 years old. I got it when I was first. Christmas.
Yeah, and you must have looked at your parents and gone, thank you, all my Christmases have come at once with this.
I was thinking about time. You know, I was waiting maybe 3-4 Christmases before that. It was just, well, 3 at least. Uh-huh. You know, definitely. I was just from no age at all, I was just bikes in the head. So, you know, to get that one on Christmas, it really did. It made my day, definitely.
And your parents must have been a great support. I mean, can you believe that, you know, you're 22 now, the first bike when you were 17, and just the fact that your parents have supported you through this?
Yeah, it's crazy now when I look back on the years and I think, you know, this is where I've got since, you know, we started racing. So it's a point in my career now where I just need to keep going, because I've got this far with the hard work and the dedication from everybody putting the effort in, you know, sponsors, family, friends, girlfriends, you know, everyone who's put in the effort and the time, and, you know, who's in my company most of the time, you know, they're I'm easily influenced by my company, but I like to keep very positive energy, and people who are all trying to drive forward and sort of in the same direction of life, I suppose.
And who do you admire most in the world of competitive bikes?
There's, to be honest with you, there is a lot of people out there, just very different. You know, their work ethic and you know, their personalities. But, you know, for me, I mean, I have to admire Johnny Ray, because he's from here, he's homebred. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and he's worked hard, and he went through years and years of riding on machines where, you know, maybe not just at the top notch, and then he's given the opportunity and he's on his way to winning the second world championship. So,
and so, you know, early in the season too. I mean, it's just incredible.
It's inspirational, yeah. If I'm honest. Yeah.
No, he's a great, and I always think it's hilarious, because I've known Johnny since he was knee high to a duck as well, but you just look upon him now as being somebody who's influencing other riders.
Yeah.
He is getting to the stage of being one of the old men of the sport.
Well, I don't know.
I can say that because he's out of the country at the minute.
Yeah, we'll not say that if he's sitting in here.
Definitely not. No, he wouldn't forgive me for that one. But you were mentioning sponsors, and I know that was sort of fairly well documented that Keith Flint from the Prodigy was one of your backers for a while as well. Did that help you then get into the public eye? And that's also very important for attracting more sponsors and more help along the way.
Sure, I mean, it brings having Keith on board and being a part with Keith was, you know, it was interesting for most people because they were thinking, you know, why is Keith Flint tied to Andy Reid with a motorbike? Where's the connection? So that sort of made people entice them to look into it and actually get a little bit of interest going. So, you know, sponsors as such, you know, you wouldn't see sponsors coming straight off the back of that. You know, personally anyway, it'd be more for the team side of things. You know, if sponsors came on board, they wanted to be tied in with the same company name, same brand as Keith Flint and the Monsters sort of crowd. But, you know, it was good. I really enjoyed last year, and it's just been a stepping stone to this year and trying to move forward. So all in all, it was a good year.
And this year, you're with the Quattro Plant Kawasaki as well, and it's always constantly developing. And that's another thing that's very important, as well as being on the bike and riding the bike. You've got to report back what the bike is doing, and having that relationship with the team is vitally important too.
Sure. I mean, you have to, you know, you can't just rely on your ability and your talent to ride a bike. You know, you have to come in and you're debriefing, and you have to run through all your issues and that you're going through on the track. And you would, you know, when I come in from a session, maybe there's a half an hour, 45-minute debrief with my crew and my data guys, and I'm a technician, suspension technician, like all your electrics, and you know, then you have a guy on the chassis, people from Pirelli around, the tire guys, and it's a big team effort, as you said. So you have to know what the bike's doing underneath you, as well as just how to turn the throttle back. So there's only so far you can go without the feedback to the team.
And is there a stepping stone throughout the hierarchy of bikes? For example, I know a lot of people think that World Superbikes are the main thing, or is MotoGP the main thing? I mean, you're in Supersport at the moment. Where what's next for you? Are you happy to stay with the super sport for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I see it quite differently to what most people would see it. You know, I see two paths. I can either stay on 600, become British champion, world champion, or I can move up onto a superbike relatively soon and then try and climb a whole new ladder of then maybe it's, I feel like you're nearly going in circles then, just waiting for that prime opportunity to be on a winning package to then showcase what you have, whether it be on world stage or the British stage. You know, and at the minute, you know, the BSB championship is the strongest, the fastest domestic championship in the world, so it's testament to how good the championship really is.
And off the bike, you're something of an artist as well. Qualified tattoo artist.
Yes.
I would say there aren't too many of those in the supersport circuit.
No, to be fair, there's a lot of people with tattoos, but no, I do get my ear bent quite often about designing and, you know, trying to arrange a time to do the tattoos. But, you know, I like to keep it on the low key throughout the season. I don't really have the time, if I'm honest with you, Pamela, to dedicate to the tattooing industry for 100%, you know, giving it 100%. So if I'm going to tattoo, it would have to be on the winter season and the off season, and you know, it's something that I love. It's another passion that I have, and keep it quite close to my heart. Yeah.
And with doing that, I mean, that's something I would say that really focuses the mind as well. But is there what do you do to relax? Does that relax you, or is, you know, do you like getting into the great outdoors, and or are you an adrenaline junkie through and through?
Yeah, no, I would say I'm definitely an adrenaline junkie through and through, but I do like relaxing things. You know, I love taking my dogs for a walk. You know, I don't think there's really anything better than that. You know, some people have kids and they say that the joy the kids give them, you know, but I don't have kids and I don't particularly want any anytime soon. So
fair enough. Hold on for a while, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll make do with my dogs, Oscar and Marley. One's a golden retriever and the other's a Patterdale terrier. So, you know, they keep me good company when I'm out. And, you know, I always think I would love to go fishing, Pamela, but I don't have the equipment and I don't have the knowledge.
Well, I'm
either.
Sure somebody would help you out.
I would love to.
Fly fishing?
Any kind of fishing.
Or sea fishing? Because I've done both.
I don't know. Yeah. I've just watched the odd documentary on the National Geographic, and the boys are out in the what do you call them?
The deep sea fishing
ones.
Yes, ones. Yes.
I think that's
fantastic. Love that. Yes, I must admit, I did that one afternoon in Strangford Loch, fishing for tope shark.
Right.
Most boring afternoon I've ever had. Just sitting there with a rod over the end, nothing happening.
They say it's not about catching the fish. They say it's about
the
participation.
Yeah, the time. I don't know. I think I might be into it. I'll have to give it a go and see if it or not.
Well, you never know. There's a former colleague of mine, Linda Bryans, used to travel around with a fishing rod in her car all the time, and that if she just happened to have a couple of hours free and she'd come across a river where she had the permit to go, of course, she would just get out and have a wee fish, clear the head, and away she'd go again.
Oh, fair play.
Absolutely. Who knows? We could see you with Robson Green doing extreme fishing.
That's it.
In the middle of the Caribbean. Listen, Andy, it's lovely to talk to you again. Where is next for you then?
We're off to the next round is Thruxton.
Thruxton, yep. Right. Let me see, where have you... Yes, you've done Snetterton. Yes, Thruxton is in a couple of weeks' time.
Thruxton, so 2 weeks' time.
And everything will be geared up and ready to go. Bike fixed, sorted.
Fingers crossed, everything goes to plan. You know, we can walk away, hopefully, with two strong wins and, you know, regain that championship lead. So, I think I know that I'll be putting in the effort on my side coming up to the race. So I just hope that the team are putting in, well, I know they're putting in their effort, but I just maybe something extra for this weekend, or this weekend coming.
Well, we wish you every success, Andy. Thank you so much indeed for popping in. And I read this somewhere that this is one of your favourite tunes, so thought we'd play it.